Guess I turned that on already. All right, so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 31. Acts 16:31 says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this night and the opportunity to be in your house, and we're thankful for your word. Father, we're thankful that we have it, that we can sit under the preaching and teaching of it, we can study it, we can meditate upon it. Father, we thank you for a nation where we can have it and take it with us wherever we go without that threat of persecution. And so we thank you for what you're going to do tonight as we look into it. I pray, Father, that we'd be drawn closer to you and our faith would increase. As we look at this, questions on assurance tonight, we just give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So questions on assurance. There's a lot of people that are not quite sure, and so they question their salvation, not because we need to, but because they're not sure. Sometimes when they're not sure, it's because they're not saved. Sometimes it's just because something's come up and they're starting to question things and not knowing for sure. But the first one, have I believed on Christ, repenting of sin and receiving him as my Savior? Look at Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So first of all, we have to believe in our heart, then we need to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then we've got a few more here. Look at 1 John 5:1. Let's start with that one. 1 John 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And then over at Luke 13, verse 3, Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then drop to verse 5, it says, I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We don't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you believe, you're not saved. Too many times people have told me, I believe in God, but I don't need that Jesus Christ thing. Guess what? They don't believe in God. They don't have a relationship with God the Father without having a relationship with Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. It's the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. So if they don't have that relationship, That's why I tell people, it's not about what church you attend. It's not about you being sprinkled or immersed or any of that stuff. It has nothing to do with that stuff. What it has to do with, do you have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, you're not saved. Simple as that. Can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but they were talking about three different kinds of people in the world. I said, no, there's two. In fact, I think it was your sister when we were together. I said, no, there's only two. Those that are saved and those that are lost. That's what it boils down to. You're either saved or you're lost. There's no in-between. There's no middle ground there. You're either saved or you're lost. It's like people say, well, they're a little bit pregnant. No, you're either pregnant or you're not. You can't be a little bit pregnant, right? You either are or you aren't. You're either saved or you're lost. It's pretty simple. And the next one, have I experienced the witness of the Spirit? Look at 1 John 4:13. Oops. Maybe I'll get there. First John chapter 4, verse 13. Where it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I tell people all the time, if the Holy Spirit has never convicted you of your sin, you should find out if you're saved or not. Because the Holy Spirit will convict us. He's given to us, that's one of the things he does, is convict us of our sin so that we know that we need to get that right. And then Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Again, if that Holy Spirit hasn't been convicting you, if you don't have that Holy Spirit working in your life, it could be a problem. It could be a huge problem. And I talked to a guy one time and he said, I just want to go to a church that makes me feel good about myself. I said, well, you can feel good about yourself without going to a church if you want to, right? You don't have to go to a church to feel good about yourself. I said, I like it when the Holy Spirit convicts me, because it's the assurance that I belong to God. I know for sure I belong to him, because that when that Holy Spirit says, you ought not do that, well, it's a little late to tell me now. I already did it. So that means it's time to confess it and get it right. We need to do that. And thank God he's adopted us into his family. And every single human being can be adopted into the family of God. They just accept that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then assurance can be strengthened by being sensitive to and filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Then am I convicted and chastened when I sin. Here's what I was talking about already. When we sin, we should be convicted. It shouldn't be easy to just go out and sin and sin and sin and sin and sin and not have any conviction at all. I say sometimes there's people out there that can sin and it's like their conscience is seared and they have no, They have no conscience, right? It just doesn't bother them at all. And they're getting more and more blatant about their sin and doing it in broad daylight and not even thinking twice about it. It doesn't bother them at all. But for a child of God, for us to be involved in sin, it should bother us. I think all the time about when I do something and the Holy Spirit convicts me, immediately I think, that's what nailed my Savior to the cross. I don't want to do that. So why do we do it? Because we're warring with this flesh all the time. We had that conversation at the chiropractor. We're warring against this flesh all the time. We need to die to self daily and let the Lord Jesus Christ live through us so we can conquer this thing. But it's not because of what we've done, it's because of what He's done. Look at 1 John 5:10. First John 5:10 says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Too many people don't think of Jesus as anything more than just a good man that walked this earth. Somebody who did miracles, right? How can you do those miracles unless you come from God? Right? That's what the Bible said about him. How could they do these miracles except he come from God? God sent him to do these works. Jesus was very clear. I came to do the will of my Father. And he did that. We have to believe that God sent his only begotten Son into this world, that we could have eternal life through the work that he did. Not anything that we do, but what he did. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. And look at 5 through 11. Hebrews 12, 5 says, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Again, God chastens us because he loves us. Right? If God didn't correct us, we'd just keep doing whatever we want. Just like children. If you don't correct them, they'll just do whatever they want. I always find it interesting in kids because they want to know where the boundary is. Right? I've said that for years. Kids want to know where the boundaries are. So they push until they're pushed back. They'll push the boundaries. We say that about kids, but aren't we the same? Adults do the same exact thing. We want to know where the boundaries are, right? Speed limit, right? You drive in and the speed limit says 55 miles an hour. Well, let me just see if I can do 60. Right? Wow, I can do 60. Let's see if we can do 65 the next time. Didn't get caught again. let's try 70. We just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And then, you know, those blue and red lights start flashing in the rearview mirror, and now we know where the boundary is, right? Or so we think. We're no different than children. We want to know where the boundaries are. Well, God's chastisement says, you stepped out of bounds. You did something you ought not have done. And so here's the chastisement. As I mentioned, we don't know what the penalty is going to be. I mean, the consequence is going to be, we know the penalty is death, right? And Jesus paid that, but the consequence of our sin, we don't know what the cost of that consequence is until after we've committed the sin. And then we find out. I've often said, if we actually knew what it was going to cost us to continue into the sin after we've been tempted, we'd probably say, that's just too high a price. We're not willing to pay that. But maybe we had a sin that the consequence wasn't too bad, and we're thinking, hey, that wasn't so bad. We'll try this next one. The next time, the consequence is a little worse off. Then we don't like it. But then we go through time and all of a sudden we think, you know, that wasn't so bad, really. When you think back on it, it wasn't all that bad. Well, no, time's passed and, you know, you're still breathing, right? It must not have been too bad. So then we try again. And we just keep pushing those boundaries. Well, God's consequences, just like I've said with kids, you've got to make the consequences increase as they continue. And when it hurts too much, then they'll correct their behavior. But until it hurts too much, you know, we had a daughter, she'd just as soon be spanked than put on restriction. Later on, she said, well, yeah, spanking, the pain only lasts for a little bit. You take away the things I want to do for a week, now that goes on for a whole week. But a spanking just, that's quick. It's over with, done with, and moving on, right? So you had to learn, okay, spankings don't work with her. The other daughter, on the other hand, if she thought she was getting a spanking, she was devastated. That was worse than taking away her privileges for a week. So you had to adjust which one works for which child. Not always are the consequences the same for everybody, because God knows what's going to work on you and what may not work on somebody else. But we have to understand there's going to be consequences when we sin. And in the end, we're not going to like them. We're not going to like them. And then, am I continuing in the faith? Look at Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. It says, in the body of this flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Excuse me. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There's a lot of people who are moving away from that gospel today. Over and over and over, we see more and more people falling away from the truth. And it's sad. It saddens my heart when I hear people, they're no longer interested in attending church, no longer interested in reading their Bible, no longer in hearing the preaching of the Word of God at all. They just don't want anything to do with it. And often I think, were they ever saved? I can't see their heart, so I don't know. But then I go back to the gospel and it says, in the last days there will be a falling away. Lost people can't fall away from the truth. They never had it. So it's saved people he's talking about. So yeah, there will be a falling away. And we don't have to like it, right? But we have to understand it's going to happen. Because the Bible says it's going to happen. And that's why we see church after church after church going a different direction. And many churches closing their doors. And it's unfortunate. 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There's some that just not going to be part. They come in and put on a good show. But then they leave. Totally. I'm not talking about people that God's moved to a different church. I'm talking about people who totally leave and have nothing to do with church. Or it could be those who go to what they call a church, but it's not his church. Trust me, if God's not in it, it's not his. And then, have I been changed by the new birth? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Has my heart been changed? Do I love Christ? Here's a good question. I've had some people, they go, I love the Lord and all, I just don't want to go to church. The Bible says if we love God, we're going to love the things of God. Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. We should love the church. Loving the things that God loves. For somebody to say they love the Lord, but they don't like what he likes, they don't love what he loves, it makes you question, right? How can you say you don't love the things of God, yet you love God? People are like, I love God, but I'm not going to church. He gave his life for the church. Why would you not want to be there? And I don't know. It's different for me, I guess. I got saved. I wanted to go to church. Until church people did things that church people shouldn't do. Then I blame God for what people did. It wasn't until God got a hold of my heart and said, that's not my fault. And I said, you're right, Lord, it's not. And I've used people do what people do because people are people, right? And it's true. So I quit blaming God for what people do. It's not his fault. People do what they do because sin in the world. That's why I've said many times, if everybody got saved and everybody lived their life according to the Word of God, this would be a pretty good place to live. Wouldn't be so bad here on earth, would it? The problem is, people are people. They do what people do. They don't live according to the Word of God. And many don't even know him. So what do you expect, right? All right, we are out of time.